Good afternoon and welcome to City Connections. City Connections is brought to you by the City of Great Falls. Our show provides a behind-the-scenes look into the inner workings of your local government. You will hear firsthand from dedicated professionals who provide the services and programs you depend on to live, work, and play in Great Falls. I'm your host, Lanny Klasner, Communications Specialist for the City of Great Falls. Today I would like to welcome my guest, Tanya Shoemaker. Tanya is the Community Development Block Grant Administrator. Welcome, Tanya. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the details about your program, I think our listeners would like to hear a little bit about your background. How long have you been with the city and what roles have you played during that time?
I've worked for the city for a little over 4 years now. I was originally hired as a community loan specialist, which is a loan program operated through the CDBG funds. But then I was promoted into the Community Development Block Grant Administrator.
So how long have you been the administrator?
Oh, I don't even know the exact time. I would say it's probably been about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years since I've been the administrator.
Things are a little blurry when it comes to like COVID time.
They definitely are.
What did you do before you came to the city?
Prior to working for the city, I worked for a nonprofit organization in the community. I also worked for the state of Montana. So combined between nonprofit, state, and the city, I have over 14 years of public service work.
Oh, well, thank you for serving our community and our state. What exactly does the Community Block Grant Administrator do?
So it's a little complicated, but I oversee the city's HUD-funded grant programs. There are two main sources of funding. The first is the CDBG program, or the Community Development Block Grant Program. The second one is the HOME program, or Home Investment Partnerships program. Both provide money to public service agencies. The home funds can go to developers, but the main goal is for low to moderate income individuals to benefit from the funding that is used. You know, the other thing I should probably touch on is with the pandemic that we just had, we also received CDBG CV funding, which was COVID funding for response to the pandemic. So that actually has a big impact right now with the community, especially given the state of where we are right now. We also received home ARP funds, which were to provide housing services and shelter to individuals experiencing homelessness and other vulnerable populations. So between the regular programs that we have and then the added COVID money, it has a pretty big impact on our community. As far as services that we provide to the community, though, we do award our funds through subrecipients. So the city itself does not directly implement most of the programs that are carried out through the CDBG and home funds. They're awarded to subrecipients. I can give you a list of some of the projects that we've recently funded.
Yeah, that'd be great. I was going to ask you that question to see who some of the subrecipients are and the impact, who's really being impacted in the community.
So we have done some funding to the fire department. We funded a new fire truck for Fire Station 1, as well as an ambulance. We've also funded NeighborWorks for the development of affordable housing, which I know is one of the hot topics right now in the community. We've also funded the Great Falls Public Schools for installation of an inclusive playground for children of all abilities to be able to play on. We have funded the YWCA with counseling to those that are greatly affected by the pandemic. So that was through that special allocation of CDBG CV funds that we received. The Alliance for Youth has also received funding for their Youth Resource Center. Through that funding, they provide meals, transportation, mental health services to children, youth in the community that are homeless or at risk of homelessness. That's just a short list that I have of the great things that the city's had an opportunity to assist with through our funding.
So if you're a nonprofit and you're interested in applying, what is the process to apply for funds that you have available?
So currently we accept applications year-round. There is a potential that we could change to an annual cycle where there's more of a competitive application process in the near future. But right now, while we have funding available, we accept applications year-round. Applications can be found on our website. Also, feel free to contact me if you have any questions about the applications. Once we receive an application, we have a grant committee that reviews and scores each application. Obviously, staff checks for eligibility prior to sending it to the committee to review, and then from there it goes to City Commission for final approval.
You spoke about eligibility, so you said a nonprofit needs to apply for these funds, or you said a developer. What's the difference between the funds that you have available?
Through the CDBG funding, that is available to nonprofit organizations or governmental agencies. The home funds are the funds that can be utilized by developers. CDBG funds cannot be used by a private developer. But the home funds that we have available can be applied for by a private developer. Of course, they still have to follow all the same federal regulations that apply to the home funds. But it can be a nonprofit that can apply for home funds or developer. And the goal for that is affordable housing. So it has to involve the development of affordable housing. We also have a program that is through CDBG, which is what I was originally hired to administer, and now I am able to administer that as well as the other grants. But we have a housing rehabilitation loan program through the city that provides loans to homeowners who are income eligible or to landlords who have tenants that are income eligible, and that's to do like life safety upgrades, home improvements that have to do with systems that are expected to fail within the next 2 years, or there's also emergency loans for like water and sewer type loans that can be applied for.
So what are some of the loans that you've maybe recently given out through your loan program?
Through the loan program, most of them that we've done recently have been water and sewer lines that have collapsed. So it's been a replacement of a water or sewer line. There has been some for replacement of roofing because we've had roofs that have been leaking. Insurance didn't cover it because it had to do with aging of the roof. Also electrical upgrades. If your electrical is out of date and it's not in with code requirements currently, electrical upgrades could be something that's applied for.
So how does somebody find out if they qualify for these types of loans?
There's information on our website, but also they're welcome to give us a call, myself or Lisa Andis, and give us a call and ask us any questions about the program. Income criteria is located on the website, so is the application and the program overview.
Now you talk about an application. Is it a complicated process to go through the application process?
It's not. The application is really all of the information that you as a homeowner or property owner should know. It's basic information of your date of birth, your phone number, address, those types of things, as well as the type of work that you're looking to have completed. There are some questions in there about your mortgage, who your first mortgage holder is, but like I said, those are all things that you should have the information for to begin with. It does request some verifications in there, but it's simple. Copy of your utility bills, your mortgage statement, your homeowner's insurance. But like I said, if there's questions or anybody has any problems filling it out, we're more than happy to help.
Because I know this is definitely something you want to get these funds out the door to help people in the community who are eligible for these loan programs. So this is a loan program, so there is a payback.
There is. With this program, it's a 0% interest loan. So it would be dependent on if you had a first mortgage or not on your property when payments would start. Typically, your payments don't start back on it until your first mortgage is paid off, unless it has to do with a rental loan for a rental property or an emergency water sewer, then payments are paid back immediately. Payments are pretty reasonable. We will work with you. Most of them are over 10 years. And then there's also no additional fees if you want to do any early payoff.
Sounds like a great program. Now, when we were talking about the grant program, now those are funds that when nonprofits apply for that, it's not something that they have to pay back.
Right. Through the grants, CDBG and Home Grant Program, when we do a funding agreement for that, it is a grant. So there's requirements with it as far as like if it's an affordability period with the home funding that they have to comply with. You do not have to pay the funding back unless you did not comply with the requirements within each grant. So grant money is great.
Yeah, grant money is great, but you have to follow the requirements that are coming from the federal government
because
that's where these funds ultimately come from. How do you decide where to allocate your funds?
So we have a consolidated plan, and the consolidated plan is a 5-year plan. We do a lot of community input. We reach out to partner agencies, organizations in the community that are serving the public. And that process is a pretty lengthy process, but that outlines for the next 5 years where we think our funding should go. From there, each year you have to do an annual action plan, and that kind of narrows down your focus. So 5 years is a pretty broad plan with the main goals in mind. And then each year you kind of narrow down your focus. And for each year that carries out the goals within your 5-year consolidated plan. These goals and priorities are also all voted on by the City Commission. So City Commission is who makes the final allocations of what our priorities will be each year as well as in our consolidated plan.
So you get input from your stakeholders in the community. They mm-hmm. say this is where we think the funds should go, this is where the need is, but then it ultimately goes up to the City Commission and they they allocate those funds appropriately.
It does. We also reach out to community members. So we had a survey when we did our five-year consolidated plan. We sent that survey out to everybody. We tried to blast that to the community to see how much input we could get. And that is a time for community members to voice their concerns and what they think the funding should be used for. So it's not necessarily just stakeholders. It goes through stakeholders. It goes through city departments. It also goes through the general public, so those in the community that would benefit from the funding.
So when did you do your last five-year plan?
The consolidated plan that's in place right now is from 2020 to 2024. So we have 2.5, 3 years left, I think it is, before we start on our next plan, next consolidated plan process.
What if something comes up in the meantime and you need to make a major shift? You know, you've got this five-year plan, mm-hmm. but sometimes things change, like we had COVID or we have
right.
other challenges that might happen in the community. What can you do to adapt that?
We can always do a substantial amendment if we need to. The one thing that's really nice about our current consolidated plan is it's pretty broad. So it allows for us to be able to fund several different activities. If there was something huge in the community that impacted everybody and impacted the funding and as far as what the priority needs would be, we could always go through an amendment process, which you put an amendment in. We go out for public comment and submit that in to be approved by HUD. So we're not completely set for 5 years. We always have the option of amending our plan if something needs to be done.
Well, then you have your annual action plan.
Yes.
So you have the broad-based goals, and then you put it into action each year. But you can adjust those if you absolutely needed to.
Exactly. We have the ability year by year to try to reassess the situation in the community and allocate those funds and put our priorities in place based on the consolidated plan. So if something changed this year, and right now they're saying affordable housing is one of the biggest needs in the community, we went through, we did do an amendment to our consolidated plan to allocate more money to affordable housing. But we have it set up now that we can go ahead and if something came up that we needed to focus more on public services or if we needed to focus more on public infrastructure, we could do that in the next annual action plan.
And when is that next annual action plan going to place?
That takes me into something that I have exciting to say.
Great.
So July 1st was the start of our new program year. So we will have funding available again within the next couple of months. But we will start planning for the next annual action plan in October. So in October, if the public wants to have more participation and be involved, October is a time frame to look for that information to come out.
So how do you get that information out so the community knows it's available to respond to?
We post it on social media, our website. We also do public notices. So anytime there is a public hearing or something that's out for comment, it's always noticed twice in the Tribune as well. So look for those public notices in the Tribune, our webpage, as well as our Facebook page.
So you try to get it out as broadly as you can so people can give their comment. October is the next deadline for people to respond to the action plan to see where some needs might be met in the community through your community block grant program.
Yes, October is when we'll start the process.
Okay.
So that won't be the deadline, but that's when we will start the process for the next annual action plan. Yep, so in October we'll have a better outline of when to look for those dates exactly.
And when do you finalize that each year?
It is typically finalized between May and July. Since July 1 is the start of it, our final deadline to submit those is in August, so we try to get them submitted between May and July.
And how much do you usually get allocated, or the city, get mm-hmm. allocated for these funds?
So it ranges and it changes each year. This last year, the city is expecting to receive, like I said, in the next few months, about $765,000 of CDBG funds, and then about $319,000 of home funds.
So you're looking for people to potentially apply for those funds, or are there folks that are just eagerly waiting to apply?
We have folks that are eagerly awaiting, but we also look for new applicants consistently. We have funds available still from the last allocation, so if anybody is interested and ready to serve the public, absolutely apply for our funds. We have some funding available right now in home because we haven't had as many applicants for home. Our CDBG allocation is typically expended within the full grant program year. Sometimes it's extended into a few months into the next year. So we have a little bit of CDBG funds still sitting there from the last allocation, but not much.
Now, do all communities get this type of funding?
Entitlement communities, it's based on a formula allocation. I don't know the exact formula because I think HUD tries to keep that secret. But the formula allocations are only for a few communities in Montana. There are communities across the U.S. that, a lot of communities across the U.S. that receive funding. But as far as here as an entitlement community, the city of Great Falls is an entitlement community, Missoula, and Billings. Those are the only three entitlement communities that receive these funds. The state, on a state level, also receives it through the state allocation. They receive CDBG and home funds.
Well, it's good to know that this is available for our community and that the nonprofits have this available to them. And hopefully they come in and take advantage of it and build the programs that we need to serve our low to moderate income people in the community. You know, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap up?
I don't think so right now. I really appreciate the opportunity to get this information out there, and I look forward to hopefully having some new applications coming in soon.
I hope you see some as well. So Tanya, thank you for joining me today, and thank you for your service to the residents of Great Falls. And thank you for tuning in to City Connections. I hope this behind-the-scenes look gave you insight into how your local government works. Please share what you've learned today with your friends, family, and coworkers. And as always, you can stay up to date on city events and programs by following us on Facebook at City of Great Falls or visit our website at greatfallsmt.net. Again, I'm your host, Lani Klasner. Until next time, stay connected and informed.